We'll explain more about, we really just covered a lot of it, but the Bruce Weber extension talk, why people made way too big a deal out of it. But for now, we'll talk some spring football. The spring game is coming up on Saturday. We heard from Coach Snyder yesterday, Cole, that there may be upwards of 9 starters out for the game, predominantly on the offensive side of the ball. Is that concerning in any way? Does it really matter?
I think it's only concerning if they're prolonged season-ending type injuries or injuries that'll drag into fall camp in August when they start practicing, which hopefully none of them are. When you think about injuries, there should be enough time to recover from almost any injury at this point, depending on the severity of it going into the season. So as long as nothing like that is going on and it's more bumps and bruises or something that's keeping them out a few weeks, I don't think that's significant. It doesn't bother me. I mean, sure, it would be nice to see everyone out there on the field playing, but at the same time, it gives you an opportunity to watch some of the backup guys maybe get some first-team reps.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, this is almost like the point we were just making about Bruce Weber and the extension. Couldn't it, in a way, be a blessing in disguise if it's just going to give more playing time? I mean, we've already talked about it, a quarterback with Alex Delton and Skylar Thompson, because we assumed that Jesse Ertz was going to be one of those that's out, but the same principle could apply other places, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I don't think it's, you know, if you don't have a Dominique Heath or Dalton Reisner playing in the spring game, I don't think it hurts them necessarily. I mean, those guys are veteran players, and, you know, there's not a ton to be gained from basically a glorified scrimmage on Saturday. So it doesn't hurt to sit those guys out and get some other guys some additional reps, especially when you think of, like, let's take a Carlos Strickland, for example. Maybe he's able to get some more first-team reps now with Alex Delton or Skylar Thompson, a quarterback, working with the first-team offensive line, running backs. You know, maybe a guy like that now gets to play with some of those guys and some of those first-team receivers. So I don't think it's anything of a negative. Like I said, as long as the injuries aren't severe that keep guys out for a prolonged period of time, I don't think it's bothersome or worrisome. And, you know, I'm kind of excited to watch Alex Delton and Skylar Thompson get out there and throw the ball around and see the improvement that Alex Delton's made, because he certainly sounds pretty confident right now going into the spring game Saturday. And then obviously Skylar Thompson has been a favorite of mine and many others since he landed in Manhattan.
You know, hearing Bill Snyder say that the offense is behind the defense right now, I think on the surface would be surprising. There's so much more coming back on the offense, and seems like that could be a pretty dominant side of the ball for K-State. Do you think there's much to that? Is it injury-related? What do you read into that statement?
Well, I think it could be twofold. I think it obviously could be injury-related, depending on how many guys on the offensive side of the ball is out, and obviously you're without your starting quarterback. But at the same time, I find it to be encouraging that the defense is caught up to the offense, because I don't think many of us are worried about the offense going into next season as long as K-State can stay healthy. There's a lot of talent and returning experience on that side of the ball. So I think it's a plus, because the defense is really the question mark, where you're replacing a lot more key players that you lost, especially at linebacker and defensive end with Jordan Willis, and then Dante Barnett at safety. So replacing a lot of key cogs there, and to hear the defense is catching up, in particular without Will Gary right now practicing, is certainly encouraging as they try to build some depth there. I certainly think they have the pieces on defense to be pretty good. It's just a matter of getting those guys experience and getting them game reps. And as the year goes along this upcoming season, I think the defense can still be a really good unit.
Well, defensively, Cole Manbeck talking with me, linebacker has been the biggest question people have had. And twice now, at the first press conference and the third press conference, Bill Snyder has again mentioned, not shockingly, Trent Hanking, Sam Seislov, Jade Kirby as the top three linebackers. I know we don't really have a crystal ball here, but do you think, say the middle of October, by the time we get to that point in the season, do you think those are still the top three guys at linebacker?
I think Trent Hanking is going to be that solid guy that's out there all the time as long as he stays healthy. So I think he's a guy that you can pencil in right now that's always going to be out there. And then I loved Seislov when he came to K-State, signed out of high school in Texas, and came up. He's a great special teams player. I think he certainly possesses the size and speed to be a solid Big 12 linebacker. But by, you know, mid-October, we're 6 games into the season, I think, you know, certainly Daquan Patton has a chance to get in the mix. And then obviously a Justin Hughes type. It's my understanding that Hughes has played relatively well. He's practiced well, especially here in the spring, and made some strides. And he's a sophomore out of Georgia that they brought in a couple years ago, redshirted I think he certainly has a chance to play. But to answer your question, you know, I think they'll rotate it all year. I think tanking will always be in there. Size level play, a lot of snaps. But I also think, you know, there will be times where they bring Daquan Patton in. But I still think your starters will probably be Size Love and tanking even in October.
All right, Cole Manbeck is talking with me here. As we look forward to actually watching the spring game, this may sound like a weird question, but, you know, some people really like spring football. Others, I can understand how you would think it would be pretty boring, including the spring game. But how do you watch the spring game? How do you take this in? What are you trying to look for when you're going to be watching the spring game on Saturday?
That's hard. You know, I don't like to look at the stats or anything like that. Really, I just try to use the eye test and look at the skills that the players have and, you know, their physical appearance out there on the field and their athleticism that they show and ball skills. So, like, if you're looking at a receiver, can they make a contested play, or can a DB show ball skills and go up and make a tough interception, things like that. It's difficult to engage, especially, you know, you're not tackling the quarterback, usually keeping him on his feet. You're not going full contact in some certain instances. And, you know, obviously it kind of depends on how Bill Snyder structures it. So in the past, when he's went first-team offense against second-team defense, I found it tougher to gauge. I would like to see first-team offense against first-team defense and vice versa, just because I think that gives you a better gauge of what's going on with both units. But, you know, so that's why if he goes first-team offense against second-team defense, I typically try to avoid looking at the stats. But what makes the spring game so difficult to gauge is just, you know, if your offense lights it up, you feel terrible about your defense and great about your offense. And then if your defense dominates, you question, is your offense not as good as you thought? So that's what makes it difficult for me to always watch. But to answer your question, I'm just looking at the overall skill sets those guys have and seeing them on the field and the speed that they possess. And then from a physical standpoint of linemen, you know, technique and their strength and physical appearance and how in shape they look.
So is Carlos Strickland at the top of the list of guys you'll be watching, Skylar Thompson?
Yeah, absolutely. And Carlos Strickland obviously passes the eye test in terms of physicality. And so I'll definitely have an eye on him. I'll really be looking toward a lot of those new guys, you know, the Skylar Thompson types. I'll obviously enjoy watching Alex Barnes and see the strides he's made. Mike McCoy at running back is a guy that I'm really excited to see. I know Bill Snyder said he's got some maturing to do, but certainly a lot of physical talent there. And then obviously Tyler Burns also, who was, you know, one of the freshmen of the year last year in the program, redshirting scout team player, was terrific. And so I'm excited to see him at the running back position as well. The brother, younger brother of Morgan Burns. So really, it's hard to watch the linemen as much unless you're looking at DN. So it's hard to gauge, you know, an offensive guard and be too excited about watching that. But, you know, when you're looking at those linebackers, Daquan Patton, and the running backs, receivers, corners, those are the guys that I'll be looking for. And then obviously, outside of DJ Reed and Duke Shelley, I'll be watching Sean Newland at safety, looking at the other safety guys who can step in there. And then secondarily, the backup corners. Will A.J. Parker be a guy that can contribute this year, who redshirted last year out of Oklahoma? And will be a redshirt freshman this upcoming season. We've heard positive things there. I think that's, you know, a vital position that they need some depth at as well.
Well, the most important question here, Cole, purple or white? Who's winning the game?
Whoa. Can you tell me who's going to be on purple and who's going to be on the white team?
I got nothing for you. I don't even know the format today. Supposedly, according to Bill Snyder, that decision was going to be made after practice today. So I don't really know what to tell
purple
you.
Purple is the standard, it's the home color, so I assume they'll be the first team unit. So I will take the purple team to win.
But you also got to take into account we're going to see the score flipped at halftime, I'm sure.
You know, I hate when they do that. I really don't like it. I hate the flipping of the score. The other thing is I hate, you know, all the rotating of players, flipping sides, going to the different team. I mean, I know it's important to get them reps on the other side too, so I shouldn't say I hate that too much, but it just, it makes it difficult to figure out who's who. They switch jersey numbers at times, too, so trying to figure out who's who out there on the field. But I'm still going to just go with the purple. I mean, it's basically like a game of roulette. You hope you get one of the colors right and win.
All right, fair enough. Well, I think purple is actually probably the smart play there. Cole, appreciate the time as always. Thanks for spending a little extra time with me today, and we'll see you on Saturday for Powercat Game Day.
Sounds good. Thanks, John.
All right, there's Cole Manbeck. Powercat game day will start at 11:30 on Saturday, 12:30 for network pregame, and 1:10 kickoff for the purple and white spring game. You can't be serious at 5:50. When we come back, I'll double down on the Bruce Weber extension point that I made on Monday here on the game.